me in prayer this whole transition of trying to get up here. Looked at a couple homes, about 10, 15 homes I looked at last. My days are all mixed up since Thursday, Tuesday when I got up here. One and a half job interviews, so just continue to keep that in prayer there. We'll just go ahead and open up in a word of prayer this morning. Thank you, Holy Father, for the seed of God. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and grace.
Yes.
Lord, it's just good to be able to come out of the church this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for these brethren. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get here safely. Thank you for the plowed roads here, Lord. God, the parking lot got cleared out. Just the opportunity to get here, Father, and meet with you. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to love you more. Help us to stay faithful. Lord, I pray you to lead, God, and direct in all that's said and done. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
noticed it many times, but it talks about in the second line of the third verse about thorns and roses. Hopefully all of us know that there will be a time when the roses will not have thorns anymore. Then we'll know when that will be. When the new heaven and new earth come along. Right?
When the roses never fade.
Correct. So, that's a blessing. And all of us, I'm sure, have heard. And by the way, this does happen even now. It's really strange when it does happen. But there are cases where so-called predators and so-called prey actually are able to coexist in peace with each other. It does happen even now, very rarely. But it will happen all the time then. Scripture talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. And obviously, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have both of those characteristics rolled up in one. All right. One more song here. Let's turn to 212. It's the very last song in the chorus book. 212.
Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday.
Nobody? All right, everybody's just staying put. Maybe it's COVID that's causing that, I suppose, but I know most of my family is gone. A couple of them left early this past week, and most of the rest of them left yesterday. So they went to Florida where it's warm. So they're staying down there for the entire school vacation. My older niece and nephew are in school, obviously, and they have the time off, and so they're all staying down there until it's time to come back for school. So, not the ducks in the same place. All right, well, obviously, like the second song says, we have a lot to be thankful for. God has given to us.
Amen.
So, all right. That's all I have before I dismiss the children's class to go downstairs. Psalm 25.
So what I'd like to try to do, Lord willing, as soon as the Lord allows us to get up here, and I know your previous pastor, I believe from what I've heard, loved the book of Revelation and creation, if I'm correct on that. So I'd like to try to start going through the book of Genesis on Sunday during Sunday school. Try to go through the book of Genesis and see what God has for us to pull out through this book. There's a lot in the book of Genesis, a lot. And it's the foundation on which the whole rest of the Bible is built upon. You know, the first book of the Pentateuch, first book that Moses wrote. And so I just could take a little time this morning to look at it. Before we get going, though, I seriously covet your prayers for this transition. In a right way, it's a difficult transition, all right? And so during times of transition and change, I think it's a prime opportunity for the enemy to get in and try to stir things up, to try to put a wedge in there and break apart what God would have to come together. So I really beg for your prayers through this whole transition, and not only for that, but prayer for the church also, for the brethren. The last thing that's needed is a division within the church because of the transition. And I said this before, weeks and weeks ago, and I probably said it numerous times, I cannot be Pastor Freeman. It's impossible for me to be him. One, I never even knew him. I never knew the man. I've heard a lot of good things about him, but I never knew him. And so coming up here, again, I asked for prayers because I can't be that man. I don't even have a reference point to even try to be like him if I wanted to be. And so the devil can put in your mind and in your thoughts, well, he's not Pastor Freeman or he's not doing it the way Pastor Freeman did it. I can't. There's no reference point for me on that. So I sincerely beg your prayers that God would guard my mind and my thoughts from the attacks of the enemy. Because even if I desire to try to do things like Pastor Freeman, I can't even, because like I said earlier, I have no reference point. So be careful if the enemy puts thoughts in your head, well, he's not doing it like Pastor Freeman did it. I can't help that. And it's been a struggle this week for me. It's been a struggle with the enemy and the fights in the mind of coming into a new church, a new state, even though I've lived here and I've grew up here. It's a whole new transition even for my family, my wife, my daughter. But I know God's in it, or else I wouldn't be doing it. And I know God would have me here. And God has me here because God wants me here. And one thing I can try to promise you, I will try to do to the best of my ability. I will try to get with God and do what the Lord would have me to do. There's nothing that I'm going to come in here and try to do, and I'm going to try to be very careful as I come in here. I don't want to come in here like just switch everything up and do this here and do that there, because my reference point is my church that I've been in for 21 years. So do you see the struggle that I have there? Because my reference point, how I've been raised as a Christian since I've been saved for 21 years, has been one church. Just like your reference point for 44, 35, 50 years has been one point and one thing that you all know, it's the same for me. So to try to mesh the two together is going to take grace. Grace.
Well, we love you.
And I love you all too.
We love you.
I do, and I miss you. But I say this because I know how the enemy works.
Yeah.
The enemy doesn't like truth, brethren. And as we're going to look here in Genesis, I'm going to look at it this morning here. I'm going to get to it. And what I'm saying now is what I'm getting ready to look at in Genesis. There's foundations. Your pastor laid a good foundation. Okay? But you have to build upon that foundation. You just don't go out and buy a house, a brand new house, a piece of property, and say, I want to put a house here. And the guy comes out and he lays the foundation. You say, okay, well, we're good now. Let's go. You can't live on a foundation. Well, you could, but it's not going to be very comfortable. You need to put a house up. So your pastor laid a good foundation. He's built a work here for 40-some years. Now we move further. And we add on to that foundation in that home. Okay? So I need your prayers. And there's a reason why I said that this morning. Because the enemy is attacking. Okay? I don't know about you, but I know about me. He's attacking. And I believe he doesn't want me up here. I believe he doesn't want this church to be a beacon and light to this community and to this area. I believe that with all my heart. He does not. I was talking to a brother in this church a couple days ago, and I said, it's amazing that this church survived 3.5 years without a pastor. That's a testament to you all and the men that filled in for you. Because most churches that lose their pastor, the ones I've known, maybe a year, and if they don't get somebody in there, things start just fizzling out, people start leaving, and it just dissolves and it goes away. So it's a testament to what's been done here. But I know that the devil would like nothing better than this church to close and this building be turned into a business or something. So keep all these things in our mind that there's an enemy that we have to battle daily, not only daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minutes. The enemy does not want to see this thing go forward, okay? So keep that in your mind. So the book of Genesis, look at Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. We're not going to get out of verse number 1 this morning, because there's some things that I want to look at concerning verse number 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, thank you for your precious love. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. Thank you for taking away our sins forever. As Brother Ralph said earlier, we don't have to come daily with a sacrifice for our sins that we commit daily, Lord. Lord, they're taken away forever through the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. And I ask now, Lord, for just wisdom and guidance and direction as we look at the book of Genesis. Lord, there's a lot here in this book, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would have us to pull out everything that you would have for us in this time that we're living in. And Lord, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The first thing that we notice is here, there is a beginning when it comes to the heaven and the earth. There is a beginning. And another thing we notice is that there is a God. There is a God that we're accountable to. There's a God that we're to live for. And everything in our life revolves, should revolve around God. Because he's the one that created all things and brought all things into existence. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse number 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Nehemiah 9:6 says, thou, even, take your Bible, look over at Nehemiah. I'm going to flip over there. Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. One thing you notice if you do a study on creation is that it is found all throughout the whole Bible. It would take a long time to do an exhaustive study on just the word created, heaven and earth, throughout the Bible. But Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 6, let me get there. Nehemiah 9, verse number 6. Nehemiah 9, verse number 6 says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. God brought all things into existence. He formed it by his hand and by his word that he spoke. And the Bible says that last part there, for what purpose? That host of heaven, what? To worship God. Revelation 4:11 says that we were created to give him glory, honor, and worship. We're meeting here this morning to worship God. That's one of the reasons I said a few Sunday nights ago, talking about standing some more during the singing. It's not... And I know I may mention that it's something that I like to do because it's hard for me to sing it, sitting down. But the Bible also shows the principle of standing when you worship God. And if you read verses 9, chapter 9 here in Nehemiah, verses 1 through 5, it talks about standing and worshiping God. Okay? So that principle there, if you study through Scripture of singing and praising God, oftentimes they're standing when they do so. David, when he came in with the ark, he came in rejoicing. And what was he doing also besides rejoicing? He was also dancing before God. Now, I know most Baptists would be like, oh, dancing, that's Bible. That is, you're going to argue with God. David danced and Michael, his wife, got reproved because she tried to reprove him because of his joy before God. I think sometimes as Baptists, we lose a little something from what God might have us because we're afraid to get out of ourselves. It's in the Bible. In the new heaven and new Jerusalem, there will be dancing before God. A holy dancing. I'm not talking about something that's wrong. I'm talking about a joy before God that causes you to leap and praise his holy name. That's Bible, and that's not my study this morning, but you go through the book of Psalms, talk about singing and praising God with timbrels and all kinds of instruments. God likes praise. Why? Because it glorifies him. But you know what it costs? It costs you getting out of yourself. See, when I glorify God and I lift my hands to God, all of a sudden the enemy comes in your mind saying, you look like a fool, look at you. And he starts attacking you because you're trying to give glory to God and get out of yourself and focus on him. And the devil don't like that. The devil likes us to focus on ourselves. It's all about me and what I think, and I do this and I do that. And be careful of that trend you start getting when you say I. There's in Isaiah chapter 14, 5 times. Who says it 5 times? I, the devil. I will lift myself up. I think this. I think that. I think it should. We need to be careful. That's one thing the Lord's been dealing with me about, saying I do this. And no, I don't do anything. God's given me the breath this morning to be in here. I'm not coming here in my own strength. If it was in the power of Chris Welton right now, I would not be standing here this morning. Do you understand? If Chris Welton went off of his feelings this morning and what he would want to do this morning, it wouldn't be here. But it's because of God. It's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And it's not about me. It's all about Him. And it'll always, ever, ever be about Him. It's all about our Savior. Brother, you said, preach Jesus. It's all about Him. And nobody else. It's all about Christ. And God created all things, and He formed all things, and He brought all things into existence. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Not only are the roses not going to have thorns in there, not only are the lion and the lamb be able to sleep together there, and a young person or a young child be able to go to an ass's hole and the snake won't bite it. Look, God will be there, and all His glory and praise and honor will be to Him, because He created us to give Him worship this morning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created all things. Psalm 89 verse 11 says, the heaven and earth are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Now this is where I'd like to spend a little time this morning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Well, Psalm 89:11 says that God founded them. The heaven and the earth were founded. That means they were set. They were fixed. They were established on a basis. They were built upon a foundation. God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in Psalm 89:11, He says, both the heaven and the earth, they were founded. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 16. 2 Samuel chapter number 22 and verse number 16. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 16. Brother, I don't know about you. Sometimes I read through my Bible, my Bible study time, and I read things, especially when it comes to creations things. And I sit there, I say, Lord, I don't know nothing. You know, we read through creation and we say the 6 days God created, 7 days rested, and we go through the whole thing there. But when you really start getting into the study of creation and how God made everything, there's times I just scratch my head and say, Lord, look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 16. And I'm not even going to read the whole context here in chapter 22, but look at verse 16. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. You see what it says there in verse 16? The channels of the sea appeared, and then it says the foundations of the world were discovered. How? When God, it seems here, gets angry and rebukes. So there's things concerning creation that I think God just gave us a little snippet of there in Genesis chapter 1 of how He created things. But you look here in chapter 22, you're talking about a sea that has channels. And then there's foundations of the world, and they were discovered at His rebuke. Now, before I go any further, I meant to read this verse in Psalm 133, verse number 1. I'll read if you want to turn over there. In Psalm 133:1, I wanted to read this first before we even began to study, and I forgot. But look what David says here. And I feel like David right now with this statement he makes in Psalm 131, verse 1. Look what David says. David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. David's got this mindset before God. Lord, I don't want to get haughty. I don't want to get to a point to where I think I know it all and how it all works and how it all comes together and how it's all going to be. David says, Lord, my heart's not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me, Lord. Look, there's some things in the Bible that we're going to read through that we have no clue about. I have no clue about. God's not revealed it yet. It's too high. Okay? There's a preacher one time said this. He said, I don't know if you ever, anybody in here has ever had a well to where you had to drop a bucket down in and get water to wash your clothes, to get a drink, or to do something. But you, sister, you said you had a well, okay? And most of us know how a well works. A well, you've seen it in pictures or whatnot, and you got the little wrench, and you let the water, you let the bucket down into the water. And how far do you need to let that bucket down into the water to get what you need? Not very far, until the bucket's full, correct? And you bring it back up, and when you do what with it? You use it for whatever purposes you need. But a lot of people want to go deep. Let's get some deep stuff. Well, what happens if you go too deep in a well? You drop that bucket all the way down, and what happens when it hit the bottom? You get bogged down in the mud. What else does it do? It stirs the mud up, and the water is soiled until it settles back down again. Why? Because you wanted to go deep. And a lot of people in the Bible, sometimes they want to go deep. Give me something deep. I don't know about you. I don't need a lot of deep stuff. I'm having trouble with just the stuff I know to do that's right. Brother, I was talking to a brother this week about getting an attitude in traffic. Look, but I have some deep knowledge about the Bible, but I lose my cool in traffic. Which one does God put a premium on? I'm afraid in a lot of churches, they can get a lot of deep things, a lot of intellectual knowledge about, but when it comes to attitudes, when it comes to murmuring, when it comes to complaining, how does God deal with murmuring and complaining? Not very nicely. Especially when they're in the wilderness and they began to murmur and complain. That wasn't a pretty sight, because God said, I'd have none of that because of everything I've given you to be thankful for. So let's be careful we don't drop, let's just drop the bucket in far enough to get what we need to be able to use it in our lives. Because if you drop it too deep and it hits the bottom, the water's going to be useless until you give it some time to cleanse itself out, because it should be living water, which means it's moving. Cleanse itself out, or the dirt settles back down again, now you can use the water again, okay? But founded, so not lifting myself up too high, not putting myself in great matters, exercising myself in great matters, and just leaving those things to God. The foundation says this. It says the act of founding, fixing, establishing, a foundation. Now take your Bible and look at Job chapter number 38. Foundation. So the heaven and earth have foundations. And I'm not going to go through all the verses in the Bible that talk about heaven and earth having a foundation. But if you do a Bible study on your own, just on a word study on foundations, you'll see plenty of times where the Bible says that both the heaven and the earth were have a foundation that they were settled upon. You say, well, Brother Chris, what's that foundation? I don't know. Jesus Christ, obviously, you know, he keeps it together. But I believe there's foundations. There's a foundation that it's settled upon. I don't know what it is. I just believe the Bible. The Bible says it has foundations. The Bible says the heavens have a foundation. I believe it. I believe ultimately God's that foundation, but there could be other, I don't know. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says, and I trust God and I believe him. If he says it, I believe it. Look at Job chapter 38, verse number 1. I feel bad for Job right here. I feel bad for Job right here in chapter 38, verse number 1. Whew. But part of the problem with Job is Job began to justify himself and his righteousness, and the Lord brings him back down to earth again. In Job chapter 38, verse number 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsels by words without knowledge? Right then and there, as soon as the Lord, if he said that to me, I'd be on the ground, face first, say, Lord, mercy. I don't know what I was talking about, Lord. But God's not that way. God says, Job, you need to keep standing. Verse number 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? God looks at Job, says, Job, stand up, son. You ain't getting on the ground. Stand up. Gird up your loins like a man. Take it like a man. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I would have soiled myself, and I'm being nice. I'm being honest. If the Lord would deal with me that way, I would crumble to pieces. And God says, no, where were you when I laid the foundation? Declare if thou hast understanding. Look at verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God is calling out Job here saying, where were you when I laid these foundations, when I drew the line, when I fastened it upon nothing? There's another verse in the Bible that talks about the world and it hangs on nothing. God's telling Job, where are you at, Job? Job, you have all this insight, you have all this understanding about why these things are happening, Job. But where were you when I created all things in the very beginning? Job has no answer for that because there is no answer for that. Brethren, God requires for us to stay humble, humility, to realize what we are before a holy God. Walk humbly with our God. Walk humbly. And that's what I strive. I strive, Lord, help me to walk humbly with you because, God, I don't know anything outside of what you let me know. I don't know nothing other than what he lets me know. I don't get anything because I get it because of my intellect and because of my knowledge and because of how smart I was made. No, I get it because God's allowed me to get it. God's given me the very breath to breathe this morning. God allows me to move about this morning. God allows me to be able to see this morning. God allows me to be able to hear this morning and talk this morning. It's all of him. And it's all for him. So he says here that there's a foundation. Now, real quick before we close up here in the next few minutes, take your Bible and look at Psalm 104 and verse number 1. Psalm number 104 and verse number 1. Psalm 104 and verse number 1. Psalm 104, verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Brethren, again, some things there. Some people say, well, it's symbolic. It's poetry. No, I believe it. I believe God has clothed himself with light. Don't ask me to explain it, but he's God. And it talks about in other verses in Psalms about the heavens. Here it talks about the heavens being stretched out like a curtain. It says God stretched out the heavens like you would stretch out a curtain on your window or in your home. You stretch out the curtain. And it refers to that as the heavens. Now, there's things called like, this is above my head. This is a reference point. If I was standing next to the Empire State Building, this thought is like at the top of the Empire State Building. That's how high up above my head is. When you talk about the space-time continuum. Albert Einstein talked about it, and he studied it, and when he was looking at it, they referred to space and everything as like if you look at a picture of it, it's like a dimple in a stretched out garment, and how they reference time. Now, again, I don't understand. That's way above me, but it's stretched out, and it, if you had like a balloon and you stretched the balloon out before you blew it up, and you put a bowling ball on it, and it bended it down. It stretched it out, and that's how they refer to time. But it talks about in the Bible how God bent the heavens when he came down, almost like that space-time to where it's bent down. Again, I don't understand it all. It all don't make no sense to me. All I know is in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and there's things that we don't know about that God's got planned for us. You want to talk about heaven? We can't even begin to explain what heaven's going to be like. We can't even begin to explain what just looking at heaven, much less experiencing heaven. If it talks about God stretching out the heavens like a curtain, we're talking about God. if that don't humble you down and make you want to just back away a little bit and kind of put your head down a little bit, I don't know what will. When you're talking about a God that can just stretch out the heavens, and the Bible talks, in the book of Psalms, where he bowed down the heavens to come down to earth. Riding upon cherubs and a chariot. That's why they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There is none like God. Islam doesn't have it. Buddhism doesn't have it. Buddha can't stretch out the heavens. Muhammad can't stretch out the heavens. Allah can't stretch out the heavens. But my God stretched out the heavens this morning. He created all things, both heaven and earth, and he has laid the foundations of all things. All glory and honor belongs to him. Now, four things. I'm going to try to get them real quick here. Foundations. Now look, Isaiah chapter 58, flip over. We're going to look at four foundations real quick before we pray. We got about 10 more minutes. Four foundations. Okay, the heaven and earth were founded upon foundations. Look at Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 11. Isaiah 58 and verse number 11. Foundations are important. Foundations are very important. Look what it says in Isaiah 58 and verse number 11. And this is the Lord giving instruction to Israel. Look what he says in verse number 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, referring to Israel, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now look at verse number 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. In these verses here, you see foundations of many generations. And I guess I say this morning that a generation lays a foundation for society. And our foundation's messed up today. Right? But it didn't happen overnight. The reason we're in the predicament we're in today in our society did not happen because of something last week. And it didn't happen because President Obama was in the presidency 4 years ago. No, we're talking about this goes back, way back. Back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, when you started messing with the Word of God, I believe. Okay, the RSV, the ASV, they all started, and even started before that, 1850, 1840, they started messing with the Bible and trying to change things up. I believe that's when this thing got started. And that generation allowed that come in. There's things being done today that the generation of 1830 and 1840 would have never allowed. They'd have been like, no way would we allow anything like this. But because of what they established in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, you're allowed to have what you have now in the 2020. Okay? Because of the generation what was laid back then. See, the devil doesn't, he takes his time. I'll plant the seed and I'll wait 80 years, 90 years, 100 years before it gets to where we're at today. So my point is that the generations and families and governments, they lay foundations for the next generation coming up. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 11, verse number 3. A very familiar verse in the Bible, Psalm 11, verse number 3. Again, David says here in Psalm 11, 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation of this country, our Constitution, what this country stands upon is being destroyed, if not destroyed. Basically, the Constitution of this country has basically been just crumbled up and thrown into the trash can. That's my opinion. What is this country supposed to be led upon? The Constitution, the Supreme Court, and the laws are made are supposed to be based all upon a certain document, the Constitution. Well, if you mess the document up and you don't have anything to do with the document, your foundation is going to start getting messed up in society, and that's happened today. Okay, forget the Constitution. Let me go off of what I feel or think that the Constitution says. See, we got to be even careful with that. The Bible, I think and I feel that the Bible says this. Well, is God telling you that? There's a lot of things that men get from the Bible, but they didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from men.
Preach that. Amen.
Because if you and your own self and your own Bible study, no, I didn't get it. Well, how did you get it? Well, I was watching this preacher on the internet, and he said this, and now I believe it. You need to be careful with that. And I'm not saying there's not good preachers out there giving good stuff. I'm saying you need to be careful. Because did you get what you believe because a man told it to you or because God bore witness to you and is teaching you yourself? Right? That's whoever your pastor may be or whoever you may be under or whatever. That's why I try to give a lot of Bible, because it doesn't matter what I think or what I say. What does the Bible say? And so that's why you should have a Bible in your hands. And as you're going, yeah, that's exactly what that verse says. And it may be like, well, yeah, the Bible says that, but preacher, I don't know about that because the Bible says this here. That's why it's so important to know your Bible. But I'm afraid a lot of people today, they get stuff because man's giving it to them, or they read a book about something, but they spent maybe 5 minutes in their Bible, but they spent 3 hours in this book because a man wrote it. And that's why I'm getting what I'm believing, because a man said it. Now, again, I'm not saying you can't get stuff from a good man writing a good book. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to be careful. That what you believe is God bore witness to it, and God's giving it to you. And now this man, what he says is kind of in line with it too. And you say, yes, I have confirmation on this. I really do believe that this is what the Bible's saying. Does that make sense this morning? A lot of people, well, this man says this. But did God tell you that? Well, no, but I went to school and I learned this and I learned that. There was a lot of junk being taught in school. Okay? I spent a lot of time in that at Liberty. A lot of junk. You go to a Bible college and they lift up Westcott and Hort, we know we got a problem. But if you're an innocent Christian who just got saved and went there, you're going to believe that because that's what your professors and your godly men are saying. And I don't fault that young man or that young lady that goes to that Bible college and they just got saved and they're on fire for God and it says God on it and I want to go serve God, and they go and they pick that college because they think God's in it. And then their professor gets up and he says, this is what this says. And they say, okay, well, I'm supposed to trust you because you're supposed to be a godly man or a woman. But they're not saying the right thing. They have good intentions. But it's not lined up with Scripture. So be careful. If you start, and I read a lot of books. I love reading. But I try to take everything I read and bring it right back around and filter. It has to be filtered through this.
Amen.
And if it doesn't filter through this, then this stands and that goes. Especially if God don't bear witness to it. Because the foundation, brethren, the foundation's important. If the foundation gets messed up, your whole house is going to get messed up. And not only is your whole house going to get messed up, but if a little storm comes through and it was built the wrong way, and a nice little wind comes through, it's blowing that house down. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6, verse 44. We're going to close with this scripture right here. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 44. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, but he founded the heaven and earth on a foundation. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 44. Very familiar portions of scripture, but very important. The Bible says here, in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And I ain't gonna look at it this morning, but that rock is Jesus Christ. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The foundation. God created the heaven and the earth, and he laid the foundation. He laid them on a foundation. Now, again, I don't know what that is. But I believe what the Bible says it, and I believe it. I believe there's foundations. I believe this earth is set upon a foundation and foundations. I believe the heavens, the Bible talks, there's a verse in Psalms talking about the heavens have a foundation. To explore any further, I have no idea. All I know is what the Bible says. Foundations are important. Foundations were important in the creation of heaven and earth, and they're important in our lives. They're important in our society. They're important in our families. Maybe next week or when I come back up Sunday school, we'll look at two other things that foundations are important with God. Because if your foundation is messed up, whatever you build on the top, if a storm comes through, as verse we just read, it's going to have a hard time standing. And because storms will come. Storms will come. But we need to stay strong through that storm, resting upon a foundation, most importantly, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray these things made sense, dear God. Lord, I pray I didn't mess anything up with what I said, Lord, but that it would just make sense that help us to re-examine some foundations in our life. Lord, help us to always base everything we believe and what we think and what we feel all through the scriptures. Dear God, help us to exalt them. Help us to, Lord, spend time in them. Help us to meditate upon them. And Lord, through all that, Lord, help us just to continue to give you the glory and the honor and the worship that you deserve, because you are a great God. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank you for opening my eyes. And I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege it is to serve you, God. Lord, I pray now you just help us to rest in the remainder of these services. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen, brethren. Amen.